I was sharing with some of the Cornerstone leadership a few weeks ago just about the life of social services, and some folks don't necessarily understand all that we do. And so some of the challenges that we talked about were, for most of the world, the pandemic is over. Mm-hmm. We've moved on beyond the pandemic. Life is getting back to normal. The pandemic hit the folks that we serve most the hardest. So we are now what the state calls unwinding from the pandemic provisions, and it has increased our workload astronomically. During the pandemic, understandably, we weren't able to close anyone's Medicaid, which is health insurance for individuals who are typically lower income. And we had built up a backlog of over 24,000 Medicaid renewals that were waiting for us to renew once the public health emergency ended in April of 23. So the last year, we have been unwinding from the Medicaid provisions. And so we've seen an increase across the board in every area. Seniors were hit really hard. Our adult protective services and adult services referrals have increased over 120% since the pandemic started. Child abuse situations that we encounter are far more significant than what they were before, because our kiddos were not in the eyesight or in the public for longer. So things went on a little bit longer. And so when we did finally get brought to our attention, then things were a lot worse. And so those are some of the things, some of the challenges that we are facing. Like most organizations, the Great Recession, Great Resignation is what they called it, occurred. And so we're rebuilding our workforce. The majority of my workforce are new. They've been hired since the pandemic. And so there's a learning curve, and it's all happening at the same time. So those are some of the challenges that we are facing currently. And then we're dealing with people who are experiencing life sometimes at their worst. And so they're not always happy to hear from us. And we're having to end benefits when people were, you know, not used to having to do renewals for 4 years. And so it's a lot right now for our staff and for the community who's having to learn to navigate the safety net programs that we administer differently than, I mean, most of us. It takes, how long they say to build a habit, like 12 weeks, I believe? Well, they've been doing this for 4 years. And so staff have learned a different way of working. And so now we're trying to unwind. I sometimes equate it to unraveling. but that's kind of the demands that we are under now. So just kind of experiencing difficulties from all aspects right now.
I immediately I think about, you know, you're the one that everybody goes to. So when everybody's feeling stressed and everybody needs answers, they're looking at you. And so you're the one, you're not the only one that's in that season of suffering and feeling the challenges, but your team is as well. How do you rejoice in those seasons? How do you encourage your team when they are facing such challenging or trying times within the workplace?
I think for me, and every leader is different, every leader has their own style, I try to be as authentic as appropriate. You can't share anything, but I think that staff have appreciated and needed to see, I don't know all of the answers, but we're going to get through this together. We're going to figure it out. I've never experienced this before. None of us experienced a pandemic before, but we're going to get through it. That's my Kiva at work face. I have to stay connected to the word, to remember why I'm there, that I was chosen for this position, to, you know, remember that everything I'm going through, everybody's not happy with me, the circumstance, that staff, and that is the community. But I have to remember, the scripture was just so appropriate for where things are right now, because I have to remember that this suffering, the, you know, attacks or the not so nice things that are said, it's not for me doing anything. I'm not a robber or not a murderer. I'm not doing anything to harm anyone. And that's what I have to stay focused on, is remembering the why, my purpose, and remembering those scriptures I was sharing with Phanedra. Like, I don't remember all of the verses and, you know, things like that, but I remember, like, before I was born, like, God chose me for this reason. I think about all of the things that I went through to get to the seat that I am in now was not for anything, that it was all for a greater purpose. And I have to stay connected to that, because no way do I want to walk outside of my purpose, because I know what that would feel like. And I'm not trying to bring that on me or my family or the families that I know I'm there to help and to just bring them about, bring them to a place that they didn't think they could be in. There is a leadership quote that talks about, you know, always remembering that leadership is a privilege, and like, you have the opportunity to change the trajectory of someone's life. And I've seen that over the, I've been with Chesterfield County for 23 years and started as a foster care worker. And through that process, I've seen the power of God and what He has done in folks' lives. Have I shouted that from the rooftops? Not at work, but at home? Absolutely. And so that's kind of what keeps me going in the tough times.
I want to go there, because we talked about this yesterday when we were on the phone. You talked about how you may not shout it from the rooftops, but you do it at home. Yeah. But there is a special way that you bring in the Word of God when you're having conversations, because I can't imagine working in a secular environment, mm-hmm. let alone on top of that, the government. So yes. You have to be very, very careful about what you say, but you still want to be that light for Christ. So can you tell them a little bit about what you do when you're kind of trying to bring the Word in there in those situations?
I was telling Anidra that I've gotten very creative with sayings. I talk about things for seasons that we're in and how we're going to overcome. I'm like trying to use my language that I get from the Word of God is what's inspiring those words. I use it in folks who are believers and know the Word of God. They know exactly what I'm talking about. And those who don't, then they know that what I'm speaking is about hope. And so I was sharing with Anidra that when I started as a foster care, I started as a foster care worker, but along the journey, I was a foster care supervisor. And I supervised a young lady. She's a firecracker. And she was really upset with an attorney that was on one of her cases. And when I told her, I said, there's this saying, it's a scripture. I said, there's this saying that when you are kind to those people who misuse you, it's like heaping hot coals over their head. And she's like, I said, so you need to be kind to them. I was like, just continue to give them love and kindness and, you know, a soft response, turns away wrath, like using that in my language, just to kind of redirect people. I had to chuckle today. We had a leadership meeting this morning. I didn't facilitate it. Our HR staff were facilitating it. And the first video that they showed, they said, this is a video that Kiva shares with all new employees. And I was like, I did it again. It's become such a habit that I didn't realize it. But have you all seen the movie Facing the Giants? There's a death crawl. And there, it talks about it from a leadership perspective. And at the end, once Brock makes it to the end zone, he said, God has gifted you with leadership. Don't you waste it. And we showed that to my entire leadership team. And we had a conversation that exceeded what the time was that we were supposed to spend. But I believe it was for a purpose. The team needed to hear that for where we are right now. But for me, it just reminded that that's why I'm in this seat, to help bring people the Word. I may not get, you know, maybe I'll get in trouble because it said God, but I always say, I was telling you, I always preface things with, for me, prayer life, or God has talked to me, and I'm always saying, for me, that's what it is. And so just trying to find ways to give hope to people. And I don't know how to do that any other way than to talk about what I know God has done and what he can do and how he's moved in the organization. Mm-hmm. I've seen supernatural things happen and come about within the Department of Social Services. And so sharing with them today, like, we've been here before, and I've seen us overcome it. I've seen us to work through it. And so just sharing that testimony that we have been here before and we've overcome it, and this is how we did it. Mm-hmm. Is how I try to just use it in a way that's not going to offend anybody, or, you know, because the last thing I want to do is to turn anybody against, you know, the power of what God can do. So that's just how I try to do that.
You talked about, when we were sitting with you the other week, you talked about creating new systems. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, God has just had to give you new ideas because you've stepped into a territory that's unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. How do you lead your team through those moments? Or what do those moments look like when you're like, okay, God, I'm at a moment where I don't know what to do. Can you share any times when the Lord has kind of given you wisdom and insight on how to lead during unfamiliar times? I know you talked about COVID too, mm-hmm. but there were some other ideas you were talking about God gave you.
Over 23 years, there have been a lot of places where I'll share one where I don't know if I share this when we met, but I started off in foster care as a foster care worker, and during that time, I've always been a disruptor, maybe is that a good word? But when I see something that's just not working, it's not of service to, it's not serving people the way that it should. When I was in foster care, we had, or were providing services for kids who were at risk of foster care. And so in child welfare, there's a continuum. You can be prevention, where you're not in, you know, you haven't been identified as part of a valid CPS referral, to where I worked, which was when you go to foster care and in some instances adoption. And so from that vantage point, seeing at the end of the continuum what happens in those situations, I had a really strong desire to try to move upstream. What if I could help these kids that are coming to us, you know, is there something different that we could have done? Is there a relative that, you know, maybe we could have connected with, to, because, you know, the reality is most of our kiddos who are adopted, they're going to want to know who they, you know, where their family of origin is, where they come from. They're going to want to see them. So the more that we can help connect them to a healthy biological family member, the better. And so from that, I recently had just a shouting moment where recently Governor Youngkin signed some legislation that I went back in my email, and we had been working on with the state for 14 years.
Oh,
to provide some provisions for relatives who care for kids who are at risk of foster care. And I believe that God gave me that desire and the courage to come against, not from a aggressive manner, but from a disruptive manner. Like, we can do this differently. We can do this a better way for kids and families. And so out of that birth created a family preservation team, where the focus of that team, I initially agreed to take it on as a foster care. I wasn't even a supervisor at the time. I was a senior worker. I took on that program to try to provide services to kids before they got into foster care. And then when I was in a seat that gave me a little more control, I did some reorganization as the assistant director at that time and created a family preservation team that stands today at the department. We didn't have it. And so those, I believe, that God allows for it to happen. And at that moment, it was tough because, you know, I'm challenging my coworkers to say, no, where's the daddy? Like, that's a whole nother lineage of, you know, people that we can maybe connect for this child. And it wasn't during a time where it was the end thing to do. But God told me that a long time ago, that was where he had placed me in that place for a reason. It took me 3 times before I got hired at Chesterfield Social Services. The third time was a position in permanency in foster care. Fast forward, my husband and I adopted a little boy out of Virginia's foster care system in 2020 during the pandemic. We became first-time parents. And so life has really just come full circle. And so much of my experiences have helped me to be the best parent that I can be for my little guy. His name is Caleb. I know Roman Franco has a Caleb also. We share that. But, you know, that's nobody but God who weaves all of that together, and it just makes sense. It doesn't make sense initially, but it is him. But you have got to stay focused on your purpose and why you're there, because Kiva would have left a long time ago when things got tough and, you know, you're encountering adversity, and it's like, I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I can make more money, and God was not allowing me to do that. I wanted to many times, but he just would not let me.
I'm so glad that you shared that, because it's so important for us to follow the Lord's leading and how he prompts us to do certain things, because you never know where he's leading, where he's taking us. And just to think, if you didn't apply a second time or a third time, you know, just to think of, you know, what wouldn't be. But so thankful that you followed the Lord's leading, even in that decision of, you know, with foster care and all that stuff. I think that's so incredible. Now, there are times when the Lord will lead you to do something. He gives you this great idea, and as you just said, it works. It works. Things turned out well. But you know you can't please everybody. There are going to be people who talk about you should have and could have done it this way. You should have done it this way. And, I mean, they're just going to nitpick everything that you do. How do you handle the criticism? And I think you shared one about a voicemail. How do you handle the criticism and those who may not agree with the decision that you make as the leader or director in your role?
Mm-hmm. So I said I am an authentic and transparent first person. My initial response, I've developed this mean eye roll. when I'm not in front
of
you.
Thank you for keeping it real.
It's like, no day. And so then I got it. Okay. You know, thinking about the suffering of Christ and really what I'm going through does not compare in any way, shape, or form to what he has gone through. And so I was sharing with Anidra that, you know, there was a time when, and on the end of my voicemail earlier in my career, I had "have a blessed day" on my email. I work for government. And someone had a conversation with me, a leader, had a conversation with me about having that on my voicemail. And I had moved into probably my first leadership position. And initially, I mean, we were having a conversation. In my mind, I'm like, no, they didn't. But then I said, you know what? I'm not going to let that stop the plan that God has for my life. I changed my voicemail to make it a great day. It's the same, you know, make it a great day. It is a choice to have a great day. I'm still giving a positive affirmation at the end of my voicemail, but not taking it too serious or too personal and being ready to pack my toys up and go. I wanted to many a times. Yeah. That's the key. That's my flesh that has to die daily. I've wanted to many times, but then I just think now and look back over all of the things that all of the barriers, even to get into be in the seat that I'm in now as director, everything, there was so many opportunities for it not to be my story, that I know that God has purpose there for me. And so I try to keep that as the big focus when some of the other things that really in the scheme of things are minute and just a distraction and an attempt to try to get me off course for where I need to be. And it is hard. I'm going on vacation next week. I need a vacation. Yes. I just got off vacation, but I injured myself on vacation. I went on a cruise and hurt my knee. But
that's why we're taking very good care of you tonight. Yes, to make sure that does not happen. You need that break. I after you've been at Social Services
20 July 9th was 23 years.
23. That's a long time. That's a long time.
I've seen a lot.
Yeah. And when we're, you know, speaking about this season of suffering and how, you know, situations come to test you, I know that there have been many times where I'm tired. Mm-hmm. You know, we try not, you know, the scripture tells us not to grow weary, but sometimes we do. Mm-hmm. We need those moments, that word of the Lord, we need to stay refreshed, mm-hmm. because it's not easy to do it day in and day out. Can you share some ways that you stay refreshed? Mm-hmm. I always say, what is the word of the Lord that you can go back to so that when times are challenging, you can go back to that word, you can stand on that word that the Lord gave mm-hmm. you? How do you stay refreshed? How do you stay focused?
So I love music, but I cannot sing at all. But I have songs that I will just put in my car. Some of them, some mornings, I'm like, I know staff are like, oh, something must be going on, because I just have to hear praise music, you know, that will just constantly remind me, like, just to stay focused and always looking at the little scriptures or little sayings. My sister, she's actually here now. She's a minister, and she will load my emails and text messages up with podcasts. I'm like, I'm working. I cannot. She's a therapist, and so she's a therapist and a minister. So I have my own little treasure chest of things to help me to get through. She has this saying that's I'll be complaining about someone, you know, somebody's not acting right. She's like, well, stop it. She's just like, well, stop it. Just stop the behavior. I'm like, okay. And just thinking of the, you know, scriptures that, you know, I always am thinking about, you know, there's a scripture that I think it's in Jeremiah 33:11, I believe, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And it's just like, call me. If I don't know the answer, I'm like, God, what in the world am I supposed to do? You know, just thinking about those scriptures or sayings, we have like little shortcut cliff note versions of scriptures where the story of when the disciples were in the boat and God had already told them that they were going to make it to the other side, but then the storm came and they're, you know, losing it. And it's like, be still. You are going to make it to the other side. I mean, it don't look like it right now, but you are going to make it to the other side. And it's like, okay, that'll help to bring me down a little bit and still like just try to figure out what God wants me to do. And it's taken a long time to get there because usually I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. But that just never seems to work out right. I mess it up every time.
Yeah. A lot of people want, at least in my experience, a lot of people want the title of leader, but they have no idea what it takes to sit in the seat as a leader. Mm-hmm. There are so many times that you want to quit.
Yep.
And if you don't know that this is what God has called you to do, you're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that you just really cling to that word of the Lord and know that God has called you, because if you quit prematurely, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that we make sure we include God in those seasons where it gets hard mm-hmm. because it's so easy. We could take the easy route and just say, forget this, I quit. But there's something on the other side when you stick with it. And you're going to see how God just matures you and how he, you can look back. Mm-hmm. You might not see it in the middle of it because sometimes it can be very overwhelming. But when you look back at those situations, you can see how God carried you mm-hmm. through season after season after season. And so I think that's so important to just to know that word of the Lord. You guys have some questions, and it's I don't understand how time goes by so fast. Every single week I'm like, it's 7:50. Okay. All right, so I want to ask you we got some questions here, and then I'll give you a chance to share any last minute, you know, thoughts that you have. And then if you could pray for us, just for those who are in this season of just suffering or in challenging times in the workplace. So we'll get to that in a minute. The first question is, okay, that's funny. That's funny. This is actually for, somebody asked about this wall. This is actually for our worship night. Okay, all right, so ignore that. That's a distraction. All right, Kiva, when you work in a job like social services, I cannot see and I got glasses on. When you work in a job like social services, where you are constantly seeing the traumas and issues people have, how do you not let it destroy you? And I'll add one to that. How do you not take it home?
I do sometimes. In all honesty, I think that I never want to get numb to what I see, because what I see is what motivates me and inspires me to keep going, to keep doing what it is that I'm doing. Something that I learned very early on as a foster care worker was sometimes I had to terminate someone's parental rights. And for a parent, that's like the death penalty for a parent. Essentially, your child's not coming back to you. They're going to be adopted. Somebody else's name is going on their birth certificate. And I remember that was very tough, especially for parents who, you know, they're good people, but life happened to them. And I haven't met a parent yet who intentionally set out to hurt their child. And so sometimes making those decisions, it was tough. And so something that I always try to remember and learn pretty early on, because that will burn you out, was that as long as I knew that I was not a hindrance or a stumbling block for that parent, that I treated the parents who affirmed me the same way I treated parents who cursed me out, if I treated them the same way, and social work is called unconditional positive regard for people, whatever the end was, that's God's plan for their life. That's God's plan for that child. That's God's plan for that parent. And so that's how I show up every day, is not to be a hindrance or a stumbling block in anybody's way. And whatever happened has happened for a reason. Life has the saying, I think it's Ernest Hemingway, he talks about life breaks us all. And some are strong in the broken places. And so my goal is to, if somebody's broken, they've gone through something, is to do whatever's in my power to help them to be strong in the broken places, that they rebound, that I change the trajectory of their life, and have to remember what my purpose is, because it can be. It really was early in my career. It was exhausting because it seemed like some of the nicest, kindest people were the ones who I ended up in circuit court terminating their parental rights. And so it's heartbreaking because, you know, I'm getting to this to help people. And at that time, it didn't feel like it. Yeah.
I'm so thankful for the helper that we have in the Holy Spirit that just helps us through those, you know, those decisions that we have to make. I can't imagine how hard that was. I can't imagine how hard that was. Okay, wow. All right, the next one is, oh my goodness, let me just take these glasses off. All right, do you feel like it is easier for you to share Christ because you are in Chesterfield County? With the speakers we've had this summer, it sounds like we are a more Christ-loving county than many others in this state. Would there be any consequences for sharing Christ at your workplace?
If I work someplace else, what I'll say is that I've always been a leader before I got the title. I started my journey in Richmond City, Department of Social Services. All of this is like planned. Like, I don't know. I was thinking like, why in the world am I at Richmond City? I'm like scared. I grew up in Verina, and I'm like, I've got to go in the inner city. And it was for a purpose. I still showed up the same way in Richmond City. I'm not saying that that's not a Christ-loving area, but the dynamics were different. Mm-hmm. But I still showed up in the same way. So it's not really about the setting for me. It's about, you know, influencing my environment wherever I am. So whether it's Richmond City, my husband works for Richmond City Social Services now, so we have quite the stories at home. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little competition. But that's what it's, you know, I've tried to, wherever I am, it's about being an influence to people regardless of the setting. So for me, whether I'm in Chesterfield, Richmond, at home, or wherever, you know, I'm just trying to be the best version of Kiva that I can be.
Hey, we're representing Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, this is another one. How do you know when it's, we have quite a few people at our church who work for the government in some way. How do you know when it's safe to pray with an employee or coworker at work? Have you had a time where you had to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I always, if that situation has happened, there are people who have shown themselves to be Christians. And I never, particularly in my role now as a leader, I never start that myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I always let them lead mm-hmm. that. And they know that I am a Christian. And so they will ask sometimes, and I'll say, I'll join you. But I'm not initiating it with you. So that's the way I try to, just again, I always want to make sure that I don't create any situation that could potentially jeopardize me being able to stay in a place of influence where I am, because I think that's a trick of the enemy Amen. As well.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. I can't imagine working in a secular environment and having to watch every single thing mm-hmm. I say. I can imagine the challenges you face with that, but it sounds like, I love God because it sounds like he's giving you the creativity mm-hmm. to be able to still be a blessing, to still share mm-hmm. The love of Christ with your employees or really anybody that you encounter. So I think that's incredible. Are there any final thoughts that you want to share when just trying to stay focused or keep moving forward in the kingdom call? Hmm.
I think I'll go back to what I said about leadership is not about position. Mm-hmm. So I do sit as the director of social services. However, my predecessor and most of the promotions that I've gotten have always said, we were watching you. Long before I ever became, and there was something different about me that they saw. I didn't realize that at the time. But always remember that leadership and influence is not about position. There's a quote that talks about if you inspire someone if you inspire someone to dream more, to be more, to do more, just to reach a height that they never thought, that you're a leader. And that's what I think that we are for Christ. We're all leaders for Christ in the sense that that's what we're here to do, is to inspire people to let them know what's possible for them. And so to always keep that in mind, that we must first lead ourselves, to push ourselves through those uncomfortable moments, to be of service, to do the things that are hard. And, you know, in God fashion, usually the things that he's called us to do, we don't think we are capable of doing. And so it requires us to lead ourselves through that uncomfortable and difficult place to reach where it is that he wants us to be.
Well, tonight I want to take a moment and ask you to pray for those who are, you know, in a similar situation as you, and they're in a secular environment, and they're in this season of just, I'm going to still use the word suffering, and that God would just, you know, just show up for them and just lead them and guide them. But before we do that, I want to ask you, how can we be praying for you?
I think to continue to give me strength and stay connected to my purpose, and to do not get weary in well-doing. Like I said, I just celebrated my 23rd year, and this is probably the toughest season that we have been in this seat. And so I think just that I stay encouraged, that I stay connected, I stay motivated, I stay connected to the purpose. And I do whatever I can to just keep my light shining, because there are so many, I have a team of new leaders. The last season when we overcame similar challenges, I had more seasoned leaders. And so I believe now that God has me here to develop the next generation of leaders. And that's gonna take something different from me. What I had that got me here, I'm gonna have to develop in new ways to affect the next generation of leaders as I am entering. I'm like, Lord, please tell me that it's your plan for me to retire. I have a middle schooler. we got a late start, so you know that I trust that it is my season to help bring about the new leaders. Because when I started, there were seasoned leaders, and they were there to help sow into me as a new director. And so now it's time for me to pay that forward. And sometimes I want to go kicking and screaming, but that I stay encouraged.
Well, I want to pray for you first, and then if you would just, you can end our time just praying for those who are in that similar season. Do you mind stretching your hand towards Kiva tonight? Father, we just thank you so much. As we started off this time, I just felt the Lord just when I started praying for you, just that just reminding you that he has called you at such a time as this, that he saw this before the beginning of time, Kiva. And he knew that you would be in this position that you were in, the role that you're in. You would have the influence that you have amongst your team, and I would say even people outside of your team. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, those that you've called, you've also equipped. And I thank you that she has everything that she needs because you've called her, and that means you also equipped her. You've given her the tools that she needs. And so, Father, I pray, just like you've led her season after season after season, Father, I thank you that you're going to continue to lead her even in this new season. Lord, she may be in a position where she doesn't know what to do, but Father, we just thank you that you are so faithful, and that you're going to continue to give her wisdom and insight and discernment. Lord, I pray that your voice would be louder than anything else that she hears, God. I pray that she would know, Lord, that you are with her. You said in your word, God, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, I thank you that you are a God that keeps your word. You do what you say you will do. And so, Father, we just thank you that we can rely, we can depend on you. And, Lord, we will forever give you the glory, because we know that it's nothing special about us, but we know it's because of the God that we serve. And so, Father, we just thank you that her eyes would be open to see in the spiritual realm, God, what you're doing. that, Lord, that she would just wake up every, that she, Lord, that she, first of all, that she would be able to lay her head down at night and rest, knowing that, God, that you have her, that she is in the very palm of your hands. Not only do you have her, but you have her husband, and you have that beautiful gift that you gave her in Caleb. And so, Lord, may she know that, Lord, that you are going to take care of it all. And so, Father, we just give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise for everything that you're doing, even the things that we don't understand, Lord. And we know that you'll work it out for our good. In Jesus' name.
Okay. God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to share the ways that you have influenced and prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, Lord God. I thank you that those who are here listening, Lord God, that whatever it is that they're going through, Lord, to let them know that you have chosen them, you've equipped them, and you've prepared them for whatever it is that they're facing, Lord God. Whether it be challenges on their job, Lord, whether it be challenges that they're facing in their home, Lord, I ask that you remind them, that you prick in their spirit, Lord God, that you have given them everything that they need in order to overcome whatever it is they're facing, Lord God. Remind them that we are not in control of the end, Lord God. We are just chosen to come and to be a light in darkness, to do your work, Lord God, and you'll do the rest, Lord God. Allow us to be reminded and not to try to take things into our own hands, Lord God, but to trust you and your perfect plan for our lives and the lives of those who we love and care about, Lord God. God, anybody who is looking at leadership, Lord God, as a position or a place that they are destined to go, Lord God, I ask that you remind them that each of us has leadership ability. You've given it to us, and you don't want us to waste it, Lord God. Allow us to be light as we move through this world, Lord God, wherever we are, whether we're in a store, Lord God. Let us be leaders in any environment that we're in, where we're empowering people to do more, to be more, Lord God. That when we get unsettled or rattled, Lord God, that we remember that you've already told us we're going to make it to the other side, Lord God. That you purposed our lives long before we were born, Lord God, and we were chosen for just a time as this. God, I ask that you continue to be with us, Lord God, every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Can you guys help me just say thank you to Miss Kiva Rogers? Thank you so much. Enjoy that vacation. We next Wednesday is our last Kingdom Conversations, and we're going to have, next week, we're going to have Pastor Manny Pina. Did I say that right? Am I pronouncing that right? I think that's right. We're going to have him with us, and he's going to be talking about standing firm and moving forward as a church. What a great way to end our time. And then after that, we're going to have a night of worship, which is why this stuff is here for those who asked. So we hope you have a great night, and we hope to see you next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. with Pastor Sean and with Pastor Manny. Have a good night, y'all.